And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Help you get over the hump and towards the weekend with this on this Wednesday with plenty to do over the next few hours. Coming up, more information on Deshaun Watson, and none of it good. Plus, the latest on the LIV Golf Tour, two stories that continue each and every day. The latest, the two dramas in the sports world, with more information trickling out each and every day. We'll be all over both. Jeremy Schilling will join us later on this hour to talk about everything going on in the golf world. Is Cam Newton delusional? Plus, which college football teams will be the most improved this year? Which quarterbacks are ready to lead their teams to the top of college football? An hour from now, we'll try to catch up with the winner of that cheese race from England over the weekend, won by a recent NC State grad from North Carolina. And one of the more fascinating things to go on in the sports world, if you want to include it in the sports world. We'll talk about that experience an hour from now. And a whole lot more throughout the afternoon with you till 3. You can join the conversation throughout, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show. 843. Oh, no. I have forgotten the text line. 843. Oh, my goodness.
608.
Wow, you know it.
1734.
You know it better than me.
I believe the text line
is correct. That sounds correct. Yeah. It's only Wednesday. 608-1734. Very good. Trent listens. That was a test. See, that's what that was, to make sure Trent listens when I talk.
Just trying to keep a job around here, folks.
You can get to us on Twitter. I mean, there's so many things to say. I forget them from time to time. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page. Leave a comment for the show there. And you can also email the show, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com. I think that's everything. Where am I? What's going on right now? Trent's on the steel wheels. Trent, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing a lot better now, Luke. That was awesome. I'm doing good. Long couple days without basketball, Luke,
yeah.
So I'm glad we got it back tonight. The 9 p.m. start is a little tough for not like night owls like myself. I know you're a night owl, so you're loving these late starts.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it's hard to stay up, Luke. I'm an old man, but look, I'm excited for this game tonight. We've got live golf drama. We've got a cheese wheel, a cheese run, you know, contestant coming on the show today. How could you not be excited on this beautiful Wednesday?
That's right. We had our first international guest, I think, a few months ago. Well, we tried. It didn't really work with Scott Pollard down in Mexico. The winner, Abby Lampe, who won that cheese race, is in Brazil.
Oh, my.
So let's hope that technology works out for us this time around, and we'll catch up with her an hour from now. Those are the, honestly, I love everybody we have on the show. Those are the conversations I love most. During the pandemic, we had to maybe get a little creative and fill some time when sports weren't going on. So we had like a bank robber on the show.
Mm.
We had a former member of the mob. We had a psychic on the show try to predict the future of sports. Those are the conversations I like probably the most. Like, I'll enjoy talking to Jeremy about golf because that's a wild story right now, very dramatic. We'll talk about the LIV Golf Tour. But I'm looking forward to this conversation about a woman who chose to go tumbling down a hill after a wheel of cheese in England, and I think the prize is just to keep the cheese. That's all. And you risk a serious injury. So anyways, I'm looking forward to that conversation. Coming up an hour from now. I think Bobby may have left the heater on. It's very warm in here today. Maybe that's why I have all sorts of mental fog. Very hot. Let me start with this. The NBA Finals does return tonight. Now, to Trent's point, we've been waiting days for Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. And when you don't have games going on like that, that's when you pay more attention to the Deshaun Watson stuff. And you pay more attention to the LIV Golf Tour. And more of the off-the-court, almost like TMZ type of headlines this time of year. They at least get more attention. During a football season, they may be brushed under the rug a little bit more. Right? They may be more easily forgotten. So I look forward to having a big NBA Finals Game 3 tonight to distract us from all the other things, the lousy headlines in sports that we will get to throughout the afternoon. But the other things going on. Now, Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight, I anticipate the Celtics will bounce back. They're at home. First home finals game in Boston in 12 years. I'm sure it will be a wild environment in there. And I think the Celtics, just from what we've seen, they have not lost back-to-back games in the playoffs all year, all postseason. They've only lost back-to-back games once since January, the middle of January. So I imagine they'll bounce back. I think Jason Tatum plays well tonight. I don't think they turn the basketball over as much. That's been the big difference maker. And Scott Foster is the head official tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to set the tone with Draymond Green with another early technical. But if not, or even if they do, I think the Celtics will be better prepared where they won't allow Draymond to try to get under their skin so much. It's a big game three tonight. Whoever wins this game obviously takes a lead. The other team's chasing. If the Warriors win game three, not only will they have the lead in the series, they'll also have home court. So that's a huge advantage. If you're Boston, obviously it'd be ideal if you win both here at home. And the team that wins game three of a 1-1 series wins about 72% of the time, which is interesting because the Celtics won game one. The winner of just simply game one wins the series the vast majority of the time. I think the Celtics win tonight in game three. The winner of game three wins the vast majority of the time. And yet I still think the Warriors win the NBA Finals. Maybe in seven games, but I think the Celtics bounce back tonight. Their favorite tonight. I think they win at home. They play well. Golden State probably will win game four. We'll see what happens. And I think the Warriors still win the series. But I expect a much better effort tonight for Boston. Horford will make some shots. Tatum will play better. They'll take better care of the basketball. It should be a lot of fun at Boston Garden or whatever they call it nowadays. And it should be a fun environment tonight, game three. Good to have the NBA Finals back. But let me shift to this. A couple of things with Clemson. Number one, Clemson got a couple of commits over the past 24 hours. A couple of guys that visited over the weekend. We talked about this on the show last week, that for the first time since they allowed it to happen 4 years ago, Clemson was going to welcome in recruits this early in the summer or do so on their own dime, right on Clemson's dime. And they had eight kids come in this past weekend. Two of the kids end up signing. Seems like a good thing. Seems like immediate success for Dabo and Clemson. Seems like it already paid off. And I referenced this study many times. But there was a study done years ago where they forced people to make changes. And you would have to flip a coin. And just say if it was heads, you'd have to make a certain change. If it was tails, you keep doing everything the same. And people were forced to make some sort of change in their life. Maybe it's ending a relationship. Maybe it's making a move. Maybe it's changing jobs. Whatever it is in your life that you oftentimes struggle with. Because we don't like to change. Sometimes you have to be forced to change. And they found in this study, 6 months later, they brought everybody back, asked some questions, checked how they were doing, and the people that were forced to make the change were happier than those who didn't make the change. A lot of times, change can be the best thing for you, and sometimes you need to be forced to make said change. We know Dabo doesn't really like a lot of the changes going on in college football. And for better or worse, he may be forced to keep up with some of these things. And so for the first time, Clemson brings recruits on with official visits here in June, and it leads to a couple of signees here within 24 hours. Not bad. One of the kids a 4-star, another kid's a 3-star, one's from Texas, like Klubnik, all right, going to come play on the offensive line. Pretty good. And you can see the benefits of playing along with some of the changes in college football. And if Clemson starts to use the transfer portal, that would be another weapon, right, they could use to their advantage as well. But it didn't take long. Clemson made a change and said, okay, you know what? This has been a rule for 4 years. We've ignored it. Now this is kind of the direction college football is going in. Let's start doing this. And the first time they have kids on, within 24 hours, they get a couple of letters of commitment, their intent. They get a couple of signees. It works out. When you decide to keep up with the direction your industry is moving in, it's usually a good thing so that you don't fall behind. ESPN.com put out today, they ranked all 131 quarterback situations for college football this year. Now, I always say in the show, if you listen to the show, I always say college football, even the NFL, it's become a lot simpler nowadays. It's just about the quarterback. The best quarterbacks are the ones left standing in the end. Now, oddly enough, I'll also admit when maybe I'm wrong. College football last year was the exception. You did have Bryce Young in the national championship, but, for example, C.J. Stroud missed the playoff. Michigan did not have a great quarterback. Cincinnati did, amongst the group of five. Georgia did not. Georgia, however, was led by a historic defense that you probably can't duplicate. This year in the NBA Finals, right, I've been saying for years here in this market that defense no longer wins. It's offense that wins. And yet in the NBA Finals, we have the top two defensive teams in the finals for the first time in over 25 years. So the pendulum has swung back a little bit over the past year, but I still believe it comes down to quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford in the Super Bowl, right? Burrow played like one of the best quarterbacks in the AFC. And Stafford played certainly well enough to get the Rams there as well. You need a quarterback to take you where you want to go. So ESPN.com did their quarterback rankings. And this is what would be concerning for Clemson. Look, if you look last year throughout college football, Cincinnati was the best group of five team. They had the best group of five quarterback. He was the highest drafted group of five quarterback this year. Pittsburgh and Wake Forest made it to the ACC title game. They had the two best quarterbacks. Alabama won the SEC. They had the best quarterback in their conference. There are a couple of outliers or exceptions along the way, right? Like Ohio State did not make it to the Big Ten title game. I think they have the best quarterback in their conference. But overall, you usually need the best quarterback. So tier one on ESPN.com, they ranked all the quarterback situations. Tier one, which are the Heisman candidates, include C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams at USC. Ohio State and Alabama are the two clear favorites, and people are very high on USC. Maybe most concerning, if you're a Clemson fan, tier two, which is labeled the Heisman waiting room, and that includes NC State's quarterback and Miami's quarterback, two ACC teams. Also in that category is Utah's quarterback. I've been pumping up Utah over the past week on the show. I think they're going to be really good this year, and they may have one of the better quarterbacks in the country. Then you get towards the tier three with the pretty, pretty good players. And there you have Wake Forest quarterback, you have Virginia's quarterback, you have Louisville's quarterback, more guys out of the ACC that don't play for Clemson. If you're an SEC fan, this is where you find Hendon Hooker from Tennessee and Will Rogers from Mississippi State and KJ Jefferson from Arkansas. And if you scroll down even further, we get to tier four, which is the category listed as definitely, probably, maybe. And this includes Kentucky's Will Levis, South Carolina's Spencer Rattler, but still nobody for Clemson. Tier five, that's when you reach Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, Anthony Richardson from Florida, more SEC quarterbacks, Quinn Ewers, now at Texas. Tier six, that's when we reach Pittsburgh, who had Slovis transfer in, West Virginia even, with JT Daniels who transferred in, Boston College's quarterback, who I always get his name wrong. Tier seven, continuing down the list, you even get to a Maryland and Michigan State, and that's where you find Michigan. And so on and so forth, right? Tier 9, that's Florida State, another ACC quarterback on the list. Down to Tier 10, UNC's quarterback is in Tier 10. You'd also find LSU, Texas A&M, even Notre Dame. And down at Tier 11, along with Georgia Tech, that's where you find Cade Klubnik and DJ for Clemson. In Tier 11, now I didn't total up all those names. I didn't even list all the names that are on this list ahead of Tier 11. But I also didn't total them up. But there are 10 tiers. So probably you're talking, I don't know, maybe 50 quarterbacks ahead of Clemson's situation. Not ideal. And when you look at the ACC, about half the teams ahead of them as well. You can still win a conference without the best quarterback. Right? Michigan did it last year. But when you look at the odds in college football, there are clear-cut favorites. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia's up there mostly because of the defense, not because of Stetson Bennett. And while Clemson is the fourth top favorite in college football, there is a big gap between the odds they have to go win a national championship and an Alabama or an Ohio State. And the big difference is because Ohio State and Alabama have Heisman quarterbacks in C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, and Clemson still has a big question mark and probably a project two at their quarterback position. I think the two next best teams in the ACC along with Clemson are NC State and Miami, and I think they have better quarterback situations. According to this list, and again, just one publication, ESPN.com, but they put Leary and Tyler Van Dyke out of Miami in Tier 2, the Heisman waiting room. They put DJ and Cade Klubnik in Tier 11. That's a pretty big gap, too. Now, Clemson should have the best defense in the conference. We just saw Georgia win the national championship with their legendary defense. So a defense can make up for a lot, not necessarily all. And I'd also say Stetson Bennett played pretty well in the playoff. He was like Nick Foles or Joe Flacco or Eli Manning, those average quarterbacks that become big time in big spots. And Stetson Bennett did that after not playing so hot in the SEC title game. He redeemed himself in the playoff. But I don't know if DJ or even a freshman, Cade Klubnik, has that capability this year for Clemson. And that's the big concern. Even though we have the Celtics and the Warriors in the finals, right, who are two top defensive teams in the league, and we had Georgia win the national championship, which was all about defense a year ago, I think offense still more often than not wins out, and it comes down to the quarterback. And I don't know if Clemson has the quarterback they need within their own conference and within college football. ESPN.com put out their top tiers, ranking all of the quarterback situations. And well down on the list is Clemson, behind many ACC teams. That may be their biggest issue this year that keeps them from going where they want to. When we come back, speaking of quarterbacks and Clemson, we'll get to the Deshaun Watson stuff. Another day and another story. More information coming out. And none of it good, really, for anybody involved. We'll get to that next. More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. It seems like in the sports world, there are a couple of stories that, I mean, we could really talk about every day because more information comes out. And when it comes to Deshaun Watson, I'll be honest with you, like I'm a little fatigued about just discussing it because the details are not great that keep coming out and we're waiting for some sort of resolution. And while we continue to wait, we just get more and more information that just doesn't look great for really anybody involved. And so yesterday, it was for the New York Times.
Yeah, a very long piece from the New York Times.
Yeah, I know you read it yesterday. I read it yesterday. It was the talk around here yesterday afterwards. The piece was put out after we got off the air yesterday, done by Jenny Ventress, who does a very good job. She's a works in on this side, like in investigations, but in the sports world too, and was all over this Deshaun Watson situation. Now, you could go read the article for yourself. It's going to take you a little time. It's lengthy, a lot of information in there. It's well done. A lot of the things discussed in the article we probably can't talk about on the air, at least without getting in trouble ourselves. But there are certain, accusations, right, or accusations. We have no idea what truly happened in some of these situations. So for those that are still skeptical, you could say, like, well, you know, who knows if what they're accusing Deshaun of is true. And that would be accurate. But as we have these depositions and we have Deshaun speaking on record, you get more information. And that's what they did a really good job of digging up here. Some of the facts, some of the proof in this whole situation, things that can't be debated. So, for example, what we now know is that while there are 24 lawsuits, there are a lot more women involved in this situation. Deshaun Watson, we do know, this cannot be disputed, visited at least 66 different women for massages over a 17-month period. Now, if you do the math, that's essentially a different woman a week. There are just about 66 weeks in 17 months. So it equals out to pretty much, right, every week you're going to find somebody new. So 66 different, it's hard to even call them like massage therapists, because the other part that Deshaun, you know, spoke on record is that a lot of these women were not licensed or qualified, and Deshaun didn't care. He was asked, and as he said, it wasn't a priority to check their backgrounds or to see if they were some sort of actually professional massage therapist. There's other information throughout this that makes, as I've been saying, everybody look poorly. It makes, obviously, Deshaun look worse. Did he do anything illegal? That's still to be determined. There's a lot of smoke. I can say that. And there's a lot of smoke in all this. 66 different women. There are different hotel rooms that they would go to. He would get a suite at the hotel. He would also have all of them sign a non-disclosure agreement. I don't know how often you go to get a massage. I don't know if you bring an NDA with you before you get your massage or before you do anything in your life. It makes the Texans look poor because we have information in this story that the Houston Texans were the ones that provided him with the NDA to go to these therapy, quote-unquote, therapy sessions. In fact, there was one of these women that posted some things online originally about Deshaun before all of this information reached the mainstream. And this was almost 2 years ago. It was during the 2020 season. And she posted some stuff on Instagram and said she could really expose Deshaun. And that was when Deshaun Watson went to the Texans and they provided him with an NDA for all of his massages, quote unquote, moving forward. The Texans also enabled Deshaun by allowing him or helping to provide him with certain rooms where these massages would go down. A lot of them were at hotels or a private area, or there was a story in which he even went to one of the massage therapist's mother's home. There are text messages in the story that don't make Deshaun look good. And again, if he didn't do anything illegal, he's at least a creep. We can say that. Some of the text messages are about, one of the women, it was moving. And he was saying, you don't have an hour to break away. Can we do this now? Where are we going? We're going to meet at a hotel? Yeah, like very antsy, a little pushy. There's a story about him meeting or trying to meet with the same woman for a second time later on in the day after he already had, let's say, sexual gratification in the first massage. And the woman would not meet with him and then blocked his number and would not meet with him again. There are some serious issues throughout this whole story and ordeal. Now, some of the things we can still debate, right? The accusations. Other things are just known facts. And there's enough facts, there's enough smoke in all this, that again, as I said, if nothing else, he's got some sort of serious issue that needs to be addressed. With the number of different women and the massages and what he's looking for. Now, Rusty Harden has argued it's consensual, and the women were the ones that went on, you know, led themselves on to Deshaun. If that's the case, this is quite the ladies' man to have all of these women each and every week be so interested, there to give a massage and be so interested in a Deshaun Watson. Now, 15 women have come to the defense of Deshaun. There are 24 lawsuits, and also there are other women that have spoken out against Deshaun but are not suing him. So the other popular retort is, right, well, maybe these women are just out for money or to try to get something from Deshaun. Well, there are women that spoke anonymously on the record that are not part of the law, that don't want anything from Deshaun, that aren't going after him, that aren't suing him, that aren't trying to get money, that aren't using their name for any sort of attention, and still spoke about the bad experiences they had with Deshaun Watson, more than the 24 women that are actually suing him. Now, as I said earlier, everybody looks bad. Deshaun looks worse in all this because we get more information that paints him to be, if nothing else, a bit of a creep with some sort of serious issue that needs to be worked out. The Texans look bad because they seem to have some sort of knowledge, at least the knowledge that maybe they didn't know how deep it ran, but they knew something was up. When that woman spoke out on social media and they said, okay, well, moving forward, how about you use this NDA so women can't speak out again about whatever's going on in these rooms? And they helped provide rooms for Deshaun Watson. Now, again, they may not have known how deep this stuff ran or what was truly happening, but I think you would have some sort of wonder in your mind when Deshaun first comes to you with this story asking for help and your answer is to give him an NDA moving forward to avoid these situations when you have your own like massage therapist in-house. I think a little red flag will be raised, like, wait a minute, hold on, are we making sure that everything is copacetic here? And really, if Deshaun did not want out himself out of Houston, I'm sure he'd still be in Houston. He would have played this past year, and any information or any inkling the Texans may have had, they would have just simply looked the other way on because he is a talented quarterback, and they'd be happy to have him. And the Browns, as more information continues to come out, look worse and worse. And I said it at the time, but to give a guy the biggest contract we've ever had in NFL history. Look, again, right, innocent until proven guilty. Maybe he is truly proven innocent of doing anything illegal. Regardless, with these accusations hanging overhead and just all the smoke that's going around here, it is a bad look for Cleveland to give this guy that sort of contract, to not speak about it. We haven't heard a word from the Browns or Deshaun, and to have more and more accusations and more lawsuits now come out. Now, the Browns did put something in their contract, or in the contract with Deshaun, that if more information came that they were not aware of, we have no idea what Deshaun made them privy to. But there is an out clause that if more comes out that the Browns did not know of, if Deshaun is seen as being kind of deceptive to Cleveland, right, saying like, no, this is all you have to worry about, and then we get even more stuff down the road, and the Browns say, hold on, we didn't know it was this bad, they can get out of said contract. It was still just a bad look, right? And if you're Baker Mayfield sitting at home thinking like, this is who I'm being replaced for? Are you kidding me? You're saying I'm not a big enough adult in the quarterback room? But everybody comes out bad in all this. I think the NFL continues to, the longer you wait to do anything, even if it's just placing him on the commissioner's exempt list until you come out with a permanent punishment, but the longer it drags on, I think the worse it gets. We get more and more information. None of it looks good. And I'll also say this, because I know people still come to the defense of Deshaun, and look, it just, you know, just because 66 women doesn't mean he did anything wrong. I have not heard, maybe I've missed it. If you've seen it, send it to me. I have not seen any sort of support from any other former or current NFL player along the lines of, yeah, that's normal. I do the same thing. In fact, I've only heard former NFL players speak out about how this is very strange. That is not normal. I heard Chris Canty this morning on ESPN say, this is not normal at all. This is so weird, 66 women. As Chris Canty explained, he played in the NFL. As he said, you would find one person and you'd stick with them because they knew your body and they would know what it would take to get you back into shape. You would never be jumping around from a different man, woman, whatever, different massage therapist, regardless of what they, you know, what they could do for you other than a massage. Jump around a different one every week for a year and a half, a different one each and every week. There's a lot of smoke here. Now, I don't know if anything's ever going to be proven in terms of the legality of all this. And in all my conversations in recent weeks or months with Deshaun, I'm not even looking at it from the legal perspective. That's all above my pay grade. I'm still looking at it just from the NFL. And if I'm Roger Goodell reading all this information, even if he is innocent until proven guilty, even if you can't prove some of these accusations, I think there's enough smoke here that you look at it and think, like, how can we have this guy? If the season began today, he'd be out there playing on Sunday in week one. I think that's a terrible look. And I'll also say, if these things are proven true somehow, as hard as that may be, I don't know, then we know if these accusations are proven true, Deshaun Watson is nothing short of a predator and should never play in the NFL again. At minimum, he's got some sort of issue he needs to work through, right? He's got some sort of massage fetish. He's got some sort of power trip he's been dealing with. You know, it's like the old classic, the Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan story that they always tell. When Tiger Woods early on, like, didn't really know how to talk to women, he was with Michael Jordan, and Jordan said, like, you should go talk to those women. He's, I don't know what to say. And Jordan just says, just tell him you're Tiger Woods. Similar at Deshaun. When you're at Deshaun Watson, like, you don't need to go to these great lengths to maybe get what you're looking for. And for somebody to do so, to me, that's another red flag as well. A lot of red flags in all this. A lot of smoke. Does it mean he's guilty of doing something illegal? No, not necessarily. We don't know that to be the case. But regardless, as I continue to say, we've seen guys in the NFL get punished without breaking any sort of law, just for putting themselves in a bad spot, for embarrassing themselves, their team, their league. And all of this has been very embarrassing for the Texans now, for the Browns, certainly for Deshaun, for the NFL. And meanwhile, the NFL continues to stand by. Deshaun did not play last year because he didn't want to play, not because the NFL did anything. And if the season began today, Deshaun would be playing right now. And I think that's a bad look for the NFL, too. There's enough smoke here where something should be done, even if it's just, hey, why don't we put you on the commissioner's exempt list until we get this figured out, until we know exactly what to believe or what happened or what we should do, how we view this as a league. I know the season is still a couple of months away. You could say, what's the rush? It's just the optics. It's a bad look when he's out there at training camp and he's practicing and he's smiling and he's, you know, he's got the, by the way, and we have to get to Jeremy Schilling. We'll probably circle back to this later on. But that's the other thing, too, that women have expressed, even women that aren't part of the lawsuit. But we've had more lawsuits come out. And part of it is, you know, they've seen Deshaun and his side kind of just brush this whole thing off. They've been rewarded. They got a big contract. He got to go to a better team. He got what he wanted out of Houston. No punishment, no remorse, none of that. And for these women, that if you believe what they're saying, they're sitting at home having dealt with something like this and seeing this guy, right, smiling, making millions of dollars in the NFL, and people not buying what these women are saying seriously. And that's only angered more of these women to come forward in recent weeks, even those that aren't suing, and saying, yeah, no, he did, He did this to me, too. He did some serious stuff. There are more stories in there about having security detail, about, again, dealing with women who weren't licensed, about paying one of that the massage therapy owner places, one of the owners of a spa, $5,000, which he already knew. But then that woman would drive some of the other girls to the hotel to meet Deshaun. Those girls complained in text messages to the woman about what Deshaun was doing. That's a whole bad look that kind of teeters on like some sort of trafficking. There's a lot of smoke. Go read the story for yourself. There's details in there of what Deshaun's asking for in said massages. That's where you get a little dicey. You don't know if it's true or false. That's hard to prove. But there's a lot of smoke of actual facts and details of things that Deshaun addressed in the depositions when he's on record, of facts, of paper trails, where we know that he has scheduled appointments with 66 different women at least. There are text messages that don't put him in the best light. There's enough smoke here that obviously something's up. May not be illegal, but if nothing else, it's at least creepy. And if I'm the NFL, I don't know if I want that guy playing every Sunday this fall, making the most money in the league. We'll talk about the LIV Golf Tour with Jeremy Schilling next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio. You always keep me guessing. I never seem to know what you are thinking. And
it's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We've been talking over the past week. Well, really going back, it's all come to fruition here recently. But we've been hearing about this, what is now known as the LIV Golf Tour, at least the golf events being put on and the golfers moving over there. And Jeremy Schilling's been breaking it down for us going back months when this was all just seen as some sort of almost like pie in the sky at one point. Now it's actually happening. And Jeremy's our resident golf expert. He's on Twitter, at Jay Schill. He writes for PGA Magazine, and he joins us every Wednesday. He's with us now. Jeremy, good afternoon. How are you?
It's surreal. It is so surreal, Luke, that we are 21 hours away from this happening. It's crazy. In over 2 years of doing this segment, I have never scripted or wrote out anything that I've wanted to say on this segment. And frankly, I don't feel like I need to today, but I assume, Luke, that the first question will be about LIV, right?
Oh, yeah.
So to make sure that I contain my emotions, stick with facts, and make Trent and your life easier, I'm going to write it out today. So here we go. The professional golf scene around the world has had a lot go on in the last week, and a whole lot will happen between now and, say, Christmas. I'll get back to why Christmas matters momentarily. Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson headline the LIV Golf Series, a series of 8 events bankrolled by the Saudi government, a government accused by almost every Western nation of various human rights abuses. It begins tomorrow morning at 9:15 a.m. Eastern Time. A series of events so toxic they couldn't get a TV rights deal in any country, and will use Facebook, YouTube, and their own website to air the events. Events so toxic where they are paying former NBC Sports Premier League Soccer play-by-play man Arlo White millions per the New York Post to be their lead anchor. This is sports washing at its purest. Using sports to hide a nation that doesn't want known what's happening behind the scenes. Thus, the change of the name to LIV Golf. DJ leads that group of players that includes Kevin Na, Brandon Grace, Charles Schwartzel, and others who have resigned their membership from the PGA Tour. What are they hoping to do, folks? They are hoping to avoid punishment by the PGA Tour by being not a member of it. How can you suspend or fine somebody who's not a member of something? Phil and Taylor Gooch have not resigned. It is unknown what punishments will be there. Fines, suspension, banishment, expulsion for life. We should have a better idea on some of this by 9:15 a.m. tomorrow. One thing we do know is that all LIV Golf players will be allowed to compete in the U.S. Open next week. That's right. There's a major next week. The thinking of USGA CEO Mike Wann is that the criteria for entering these 48-person three-day shotgun start events, the crown jewel of Greg Norman's career, is that the criteria for qualifying for the U.S. Open was set in February. They qualified knowing it. Why change it now a week before the event? That's unfair. That's the USGA's view. And it's quite possible that the Open Championship will take the same tactic, which brings us back to the Masters and Augusta National Tournament Chairman Fred Ridley. The Masters is an invitational. You get an invite in the mail around Christmas. You're asked to RSVP. Suddenly Christmas and who gets those will be very, very interesting. Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed will join LIV Golf for their next event next month in Portland, Oregon. This is a direct violation of PGA Tour rules. Bryson will not resign. He told his agent told Golf Channel this morning that he sat down and spoke with Jay Monahan about his decision on Monday. What they decide to do and what the PGA Tour decides to do will be of very much interest to those who are lurking. We all condemn the actions of the Saudi Arabian government. We all condemn sports washing. But how does Taylor Gooch not know what it is? That came up at a presser this week. Come on now. This isn't just about growing the game and talking points in a 30-page laughable manual that these players were given, including stupid team names and silly team logos. This is about getting paid. Blood money. $200 million for Phil Mickelson. $150 million for Dustin Johnson. If you believe Greg Norman, he told the Washington Post that Tiger turned down high nine figures. I will end this with Dustin Johnson. He backed out of the RBC Canadian Open, this week's PGA Tour event, to join the LIV Series and play in this event. He used to be sponsored by RBC. They dropped him as a Team RBC member last week. Good for them. And shame on DJ. Not only joining this controversial, or not only for joining this controversial organization, but also for backstabbing a sponsor like that. You literally were paid money to wear their logo on your left shirt lapel. Now you're not. Shame on you for going against that.
Yeah, well said. As we talk with Jeremy Schilling about the LIV Golf Tour taking over the golf world here, at least the headlines. Talk golf with Jeremy every Wednesday on Twitter at Jay Schill, writes for PGA Magazine. How concerned should like the PGA Tour, the USGA, these major events, how concerned should that side of everything be with these golfers joining the LIV Golf Tour and whatever may come down the road?
The PGA Tour is the one that has to be extremely concerned at the moment, because they apparently, Jay Monahan, Commissioner Monahan, drew a line in the sand last week in a meeting with agents in Ohio, where he said, you basically got to choose one or the other. Well, if you find Dustin Johnson, who, for those who don't know, is now married to Paulina Gretzky. Yes, that is the same Gretzky as Wayne. He's set for life financially, right? So he didn't need this, you know, $150 million. If you fine him $50,000, what is that? That's a rounding error by the accountant, right? Like, that doesn't do anything. If you suspend, now it's a different story. If you banish or expel, that's a different story. And I think that's where the PGA Tour has to be concerned, just that if the Saudis, to be believed, have $4 billion in a chest that they are set to start throwing around, that is concerning and something that will have to be looked at long-term as how the best way to play that is. The USGA, in my mind, has a temporary optics issue, just in terms of the fact that this is a week later. I think this will get resolved by 2023. And I think the Masters is the one that could really make a statement here. And especially as you've seen Drive, Chip, and Putt and the introduction of the Augusta National Women's Amateur come into play, you have two events that are prideful for their involvement of females. And if anybody does any research about the Saudi Arabian government female treatment of women, it's not glowing. So that's where I think the problems for places like Augusta, places like the parent company for who I work for, the PGA of America, full disclosure, or it's not even the parent company. It's a licensee. The bottom line here is that I think the two opens are going to stay open, and then it goes to what Fred Ridley does.
Do you think that something will be done or should be done when it comes to these majors? As you said, we may have to wait on the Masters to see what they do. Should there be a punishment for the majors for these guys, or should they be allowed to double dip like this, play with the LIV Golf Tour and also in the major events?
I'm glad you brought this up, because this is something Kevin Na has been trying to say. Kevin Na would like to play both tours. He has been a proponent of you play your 15 PGA Tour events to satisfy your membership. You can then play wherever the heck you want. He's the parent of either three or four. I forgot to look this up yesterday. And you've got somebody who clearly would like a set schedule plus the majors. I personally am not in favor of a tour and accepting a break. I'm not in favor of members that abide by member rules that they claim they have legal standing on to just run away to another tour. If you resign, this is uncharted territory. Nobody resigns their membership. People lose their membership for not playing 15 events, or they don't, they break some other rule that's never made public. We've never seen a situation like this where people have just resigned to avoid legal troubles, right? So should you be able to double dip, I guess the point then would be, does LIV become your home? And then the question there becomes, is this sustainable, and does anybody actually give a bleep about the LIV Golf Series? That's the other part of this, and that's why I spent so much time in that statement talking about the rights deals. The fact that they can't get a rights deal in any country that loves golf is very eye-opening. Nobody likes where this money comes from. The Phil Mickelson comments didn't help. The Greg Norman comments didn't help about, I won't even go there. This is so toxic that you won't even have a TV network or streamer or anybody touch it. And this is being streamed on Facebook and YouTube for no money and no rights fee. It's stunning, really. And what's sad about it is that it's taking away from Minji Lee's historic victory at the U.S. Women's Open, breaking every record that had been sent there. It takes away from Billy Horschel's 52-foot, 10-inch eagle putt on 15 that clinched him Jack's event and led to his three kids fulfilling a dream that those kids have had for years to run into their daddy's arms. Seven-time tour winner, winner of the FedEx Cup, and you get to run into your dad's arms. And now the RBC Canadian Open, which is an event that has a great field, 9 of the top 25. Rory's the defending champion, hasn't been played since 2019. Scotty's there, JT's there. I really like Sahith Tagala this week, by the way. That's my pick. Partially because there's a lot of we don't know what the case is in a lot of survivor leagues right now with who's available, who's not available, all that stuff. But I'm telling you, dude, I'm telling you, Luke, we've not heard the end of this, and we've not heard the end of players leaving the PGA Tour for it. The question then becomes, if LIV goes under, are you allowed back? You have to sit out a year, which the regulations would appear to say that you have to sit out a year if you resign or don't keep your membership in the PGA Tour. So if you choose, for example, the European Tour instead, we are in uncharted territory in terms of the PGA Tour rules book being used for these purposes. And Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson are making a statement for what they believe the future of golf is. 48-person event, shotgun starts, 3 days. Less wear and tear on your body. That's all well and good. Just pick an organization that doesn't have the background as the Saudis.
Yeah, and be honest about why you're doing it, too. That'd be a good start,
yes,
too. Yeah.
And nobody is being honest in these pressures. Nobody. Richard Bland is 49 years old. He has been the only golfer that has basically said, this sets me up for the rest of my retirement. I would love more Richard Bland to come out there.
Yeah, right.
And God knows what this means for the amateurs. There is a lot of uncharted water. I hated that I spent this entire damn segment talking about this. But yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, it's the big story going on. Not only in
Tiger
golf, but in all sports.
From the U.S. Open yesterday. Did anybody notice?
No, not as many. Not as many as they would under normal circumstances. Unfortunately, that takes the back seat to the LIV Golf Tour. We'll continue to break it down with Jeremy each and every week to see what happens next. Unfortunately, we did use up the segment talking about the LIV Golf Tour, though Jeremy did get the pick in there, and we're out of time, so we have to wrap up hour one next. Appreciate the time from Jeremy breaking down the LIV Golf Tour and whatever may come next. We'll circle back to that a little bit later on, too, because there's a great piece of audio from Phil Mickelson that we have to play. But we'll wrap up hour one next. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Appreciate the time. Last segment from Jeremy Schilling, breaking down the latest the LIV Golf Tour and the PGA Tour. And I think a real concern for the golf world, as you know it, the PGA Tour, the USGA, the majors as well. I think the LIV Golf Tour could really put a dent into those things. We'll circle back to that coming up later on this afternoon because there was a great piece of audio from Phil Mickelson's press conference yesterday. And Phil, and maybe you say rightfully so, right, has been put through the ringer the last 24 hours too for he has reappeared after a few months, and his look he's got going on has been mocked in all corners of the internet. We'll circle back to that later on, because I think the golf world can look to college football to see what its future may hold, and we'll get to that later on this afternoon. If you ever miss anything from the show, such as that breakdown from Jeremy Schilling, just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcasts and find the show on demand. When we come back, we'll try to link up with Abby Lampe, who is somewhere in the world. She won that cheese race over the weekend in England. You may have saw the video, and I look forward to breaking it down with her hopefully next. Hour two, next. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.